Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Heart to Heart Podcast. I'm Bria.
And I'm Kim.
And today we have some very special guests for a continuation of our last episode about Black female athletes talking about putting themselves first and the lessons they've learned from, you know, their own favorite Black athletes, such as Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, and the lessons that they have been teaching us recently.
Yeah. And before we dive in, as always, know that you can find us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. So getting started, we have two incredible guests, two people who are very near and dear to our hearts, Arielle Desir and Sydney Scott, who are both seniors at Brown, and they are both track athletes. I will have them introduce themselves a little bit more just so they can give a bit of background on what they're studying, where they're from, and how they came to be track athletes, track stars.
Hi, I'm Ari. I'm a senior at Brown, like Kim just said, and I am concentrating in public health. I've been running track for a decent amount of time, probably since the seventh grade is when I started my track career, and I absolutely love it. I've been a sprinter since I started running the 1, 2, and 400 meters.
Hi, I'm Sydney. I'm also a senior, like Kim said. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I also started running track in seventh grade, like Ari, and I'm a sprinter and a jumper. So I do the 60, 1, and 2 for sprints, and then triple and long for jumps.
Awesome. Thank you so much for introducing yourselves. And we're going to get right into the questions. As Bria started to explain before, our last episode really highlighted Simone Biles as a figure, as a Black woman who is setting boundaries in a field where that traditionally does not happen. And so our last episode was talking about how we set boundaries and choose ourselves as Black women, but we really thought it would be really important to add the intersection of Black female athletes' voices to this conversation. So getting started with that, our first question is, can you both talk broadly about your experiences as Black female athletes? And what are some of the unique struggles that you face as being a Black woman in these spaces?
Well, for me, I think back to high school, I went to a PWI in the South. So I think a lot of my experience was characterized by how people perceived me as an athlete. It was kind of a strange relationship. I think that I grew close to a lot of coaches who, I guess, had a certain amount of respect for me because I was a talented track athlete. But I think that I, at times, was an exception because I later found out after graduating that a lot of those same coaches who I was once close to had some pretty racist tendencies. So kind of strange how sometimes like I'm exempt from racist sort of behavior. But then sometimes I'm not. And that's not going to categorize all of my coaches from high school, but just specific ones that like reminded me that I was a Black woman. In addition, just like being a student at school, I think every time I made a team, someone would always make a comment about me making the team because I was Black, or always attributing some accomplishment that I did within athletics to my Blackness in some sense. And while that kind of waned off, I think it was like most prominent in middle school for me. Like once I got into high school, I was a lot more involved in like clubs and really was more outspoken in terms of like issues with like social activism. And so I think people like purposely stopped doing certain things in front of me that made me really feel reminded of like my positionality at school. But as I got older, I think that it wasn't as bad, but it was still there. Yeah. I look back pretty amicably on my high school experience because I had a lot of amazing coaches and people that just like flat out supported me. But that being said, I wasn't exempt from the racism that existed at my school. And I don't think that me being an athlete did anything to deter that. I just think at times people had more respect for me because I was good at what I did.
So to go off of what Sydney said, my experience during high school wasn't similar. I went to a pretty diverse high school where I did feel like I had a lot of support, especially as a Black woman to be surrounded by a decent amount of Black women who are on my team felt really nice. And that did continue while I was at Brown. Of course, I would say that there diversity is lacking amongst the whole team, meaning against all event groups, but specifically on the sprints and hurdle squad. I definitely feel surrounded by people, I guess, that look like me, understand my struggles, and understand like what it means to be a person of color at Brown and a student athlete.
That's really nice. I feel like something that jumped out from what both of you were saying, I think when Sydney was talking about like feeling othered, I think that's something that Kim and I have definitely talked about on the podcast before as well. Like, even if it's like a lot of praise, it can still feel like there's racial undertones to that. And it doesn't have to be that people are like, oh, you made the team because you're Black. It's like, even when people do praise you, sometimes they're still qualifying it because of your Blackness. And that's still racist. And that's something that we've definitely shared in as well.
Yeah. Going off of what Ari said, I was like kind of more focusing on high school because I feel like I had more experience there with like more racialized interactions. Like Ari said, like I'm just jumps and sprints, which I think are two of the most diverse event groups on the track team. So I feel like that immediate family is pretty diverse, and especially in comparison to my high school team, definitely feels like a culture where like it's more accepted. We have two Black coaches, so we're really surrounded by a lot more people of color than at least I was in high school. But another thing that I remember from high school that I blocked out was that oftentimes I feel like I was tokenized as a Black person, specifically because of like my athletic accomplishments, and I made it to an Ivy League school, and they're like, wow, like look at this Black person who went to this school and did really great things. And I remember just because my high school right now is kind of going through a lot of controversy in terms of racial tensions and wanting to kind of re-establish a curriculum that decenters anti-racism, which have been like some new measures that have been like implemented recently, and how my image actually like from me competing in high school has been kind of used and circulated to ask for donations for programs. Wow. But at the same time, I'm blocked from their Instagram page because of tagging the school in some posts about anti-racism and specific experiences that like Black students have had that were never really addressed. And although they're not specifically related to like me as an athlete, I know of a lot of stories of other Black athletes at my high school who kind of were always praised for their athletic accomplishments, but then when they brought forth racial incidences to the administration, nothing was done about it. So that's a big part of why like I'm really happy to be here at Brown, because like I'm already surrounded by a group of people that look more like me. And so like those cases and those incidents like those happening isn't as normal. And I have coaches that are aware of that, being people of color themselves. So I think a lot of it has to do too with like just the makeup of the team around you and not feeling like you're representative of an entire group, but like you have other people that look like you there too.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that and just providing that context. I also think that like anecdote of like essentially the school picking and choosing when they want to listen to you and when they want to use you is also a story that Simone Biles shared, right? Like her experiences as obviously performing exceptionally well, but then, you know, the minute she wanted to opt out or do something that was more favorable for her, like she was seen as like a monster, somebody who was hurting the team. And like in your own experience, you were doing the hard work of, you know, calling out your school and tasking them to be better, but they blocked you, but yet they're profiting off of like your image and your use and like your success that has now transferred to Brown. So I think it's just very interesting to see how even from like your position to Simone Biles, like these institutions really pick and choose how they want to use Black female athletes, how they want to use Black athletes at large. And I think that is just a really good framework and just something that I think I want everyone to think about as we move forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the fact that they're literally profiting off of you and like your image as an athlete, and then like not giving you the support or like the outreach that you deserve in terms of like the experiences you've had, that also reminds me of Simone Biles and like how she's obviously the face of like, you know, the US Olympics gymnastics team, and she's giving them and making them so much money. But when it came down to, you know, the experiences she had with, you know, sexual assault from, you know, the team doctor, she barely got the support she deserved there. And then as Kim said, she barely got the support when she actually just wanted to take a break. So that's just like I can't believe that's really a universal theme. You know, it's just like really sad to see that in your own experiences, like day-to-day experiences, like that's still kind of there, or you, that has been there in the past.
Great. And I think also too, moving on, it would be really good to also now hear about your experience being an athlete at the Ivy League. I think from an outside eye, a lot of people may think that there's like ample resources and like a lot of really great support systems at place, but it'd be really good to hear from you, like whether those things hold true or not, and just what your experience in general has been.
Sure, I can start. So I would start by saying we have a new athletic director, and I am insanely like over the moon that she has come to Brown, mm-hmm. because I think that she has great plans for student athletes at Brown that weren't considered in the past or weren't pushed enough or given enough thought in the past. So I see Brown's program moving in a direction that supports student athletes more than it has in the past, provides resources, and build on like a really great program that other schools had access to that we have not. Specifically the women's team.
Yeah, to piggyback off of that, yeah, it's been really great to see like a new person in a position of leadership come in and like really seem to care about athletics here at Brown. Because I think leading up to our senior year before this, we haven't really had administration leadership that I feel like has always prioritized the athletes specifically. I think certain teams have gotten priority, but the track team was not one of them. And I think a lot of times people assume too, oh, you go to an Ivy League school, you have billions of dollars in an endowment, like you must have it made. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the way that those funds are allocated is oftentimes not equal across different parts of the university. And in the past, lots of funds haven't been allocated towards athletics, specifically track and field. And so it is kind of frustrating thinking like, you know, you got to this level, we're at an Ivy League school, like it's not supposedly supposed to be any better than this, but at times having some frustration at having a lack of resources because of the way that the school decides to allocate resources towards athletics. And in general, just sometimes the atmosphere on campus specifically doesn't always make it feel welcoming to be an athlete, which is something that, at least for me personally, is something I'm always proud of and something I love talking to people about, but not always feeling outside of the track that it's something that I could be open about because people don't always receive it well. And there's kind of like this double standard of assuming that like the athletes are taking too many resources, while at the same time not acknowledging that like we're actually a lot of times underfunded. And like Ari said, I think we're going in a really great direction, even in terms of like diversity and just working with like equity and inclusion as well. I think all of those matters are being like prioritized and taken seriously right now. I think there's been kind of like picking and choosing between like what to prioritize with teams, and a lot of times it's been associated with teams that have less diverse racial makeups and teams that like do better as a whole in terms of championships. And so as a result, I think like some teams were neglected in the past and other teams were given more priority. And that made it difficult being an athlete at times because like it feels like it's personal, like it feels like you're not cared about, that you're being neglected, that you're not being prioritized. And as an athlete, like sometimes all you want is just to have like recognition and not be like othered already and not have stereotypes be put on you about like why you exist at this university in the first place. So it's been really nice to see a turn in the tides of how people view us and how the administration chooses to view us.
Yeah, and just to go off of what Sydney's point about being othered, I have been asked many times being a student athlete at Brown, like whether I got in because I run track, and a lot of people have questioned my intelligence because I'm a student athlete. This also hasn't happened to me personally. I've been lucky enough to avoid the situation, but many people on the team have also had professors who told them that if they're a student athlete, they do not want them in their class. So I think that the new athletic director will foster an environment that is very inclusive of student athletes, because in the past we have not seen that on campus, at least not all the time in all spaces. So hopefully there'll be more excitement and encouragement and support for student athletes in the Ivy League.
Wow, I can't believe that professors are that like discriminatory against student athletes. And I also want to know if you both have any thoughts about, like, you kind of touched on this, the way funds are allocated towards sports teams. I feel like what I've seen, you know, at Penn and just like having a brother who's an athlete and like played basketball, like during college and high school, it seems as though male teams and teams such as basketball and football seem to get a lot of funding. I don't know if that's like weird to talk about, but I think that in a conversation about Black female athletes and, you know, being recognized and getting the recognition and support that they deserve, it seems as though there's a lot of misogynoir in how sports are allocated funding.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I'm not very well versed in how the funding occurs, but I know part of it comes from the university and the other part comes from alumni who donate back to programs. So a big part of it just has to do with like the types of alumni that certain programs are producing. With teams that have more diverse makeups, I think it's more difficult to have that alumni support that I think is like really crucial sometimes to certain teams like getting the resources that they need. And while I will say that I do think the university still allocates more funds to certain teams, that also having that alumni like support as a cushion is kind of like the make or breaker at times. And I think that like with the track team, for example, like I think in comparison to other teams, especially around sports where it's clear that like accessibility is limited to a certain group of people that are able to use the resources to even get into that sport in the first place, which is a big part of why like those teams in themselves aren't super diverse, that it's easier to find those alumni that have those resources that want to give back to the school, whereas other teams like have that less diversity. And so they're more dependent on the funds that the school allocates. And if those funds aren't enough, then the teams like are just lacking in resources.
In addition to that, beyond financial resources, I think the way that certain teams are highlighted also differ. I've had family members who like follow Brown, follow athletics at Brown, say like, when you guys are in season, why don't they support you all in this way? Why aren't your meets, I guess like broadcasted throughout campus in a similar way to other teams? So I think that certain teams are prioritized in on campus, or I guess like throughout the athletic department, and other teams aren't. Basically, it's obvious who the athletic department prioritizes. And in addition to that, those teams usually are teams that have more financial resources from the university. But also, like Sydney said, I'm not exactly sure about how those about how like finances are distributed within the athletic department, but I think that it's clear that the track team is not, has not always been a priority.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think also too, I know that even at one point, like a year or two ago, the track team was almost, you know, disbanded. And that was like a whole effort to save the team. And I know a lot of the arguments in favor of doing so were that it would significantly like decrease the diversity of student athletes at Brown, because the track team does, you know, bring in so many athletes. It is one of the more accessible sports that like somebody could pick up in middle or high school. And so I just think it's really interesting to talk about, like, you know, where priorities have been and kind of what it looks like now going forward. I also think that, and you know, definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, being a part of a team that doesn't always get recognition, in addition to also just operating as a Black woman at Brown, that is just like an additional layer of I think like hardship that you might have to experience and go through. And like, I would just really love to hear kind of like how you navigate that, because it kind of really is juggling with a lot of identities that are not always prioritized at this university.
Yeah, I think, well, at least for me personally, I always like have strongly identified with being an athlete. So it's always like one of the first things I say when I introduce myself, like, I want people to know that I'm on a team. I want them to know that I'm going to practice and competing in meets on top of all my schoolwork and everything. But definitely, I think with just like the general atmosphere of there not being like an acceptance of athletes, with there being some hostility towards athletes, I think it makes it hard to navigate certain spaces at time when you're trying to like assert your identity. And another addition to that, which for me is being a track and field athlete, is like looked down upon. And it kind of makes you pick and choose when like you want to assert that in a space where you know it may not be accepted, and when like you know that you'll be welcomed and supported by other people. I also think too, just like being an athlete is one thing, but like being like a female athlete is one thing. Being like a Black female athlete is like something else. Like there's layers to everything. And I think that while it's really great to be part of a community of people, you know, specifically speaking with athletes that understand what it's like to be an athlete, there's an even smaller community of female athletes and an even smaller community of Black female athletes. And just like, it's hard to think of specific examples, but just knowing that like your race can intersect with how you interact with your sport at any given time. I think sometimes it does kind of have like an isolating effect when things you're experiencing like uniquely affect you and you don't have that like common ground with other athletes because they aren't Black women. But I think also at times too, like it is kind of very empowering at the same time, like knowing that just what a Black female athlete represents. And I think just like being at a school here where it's already difficult to not be placed into certain categories based on the way that you look. I think once people like really get to know you, I think there's always like an appreciation that's fostered for the things that we do. But sometimes it's just hard like getting yourself in that space to start off with because, you know, there's already so many pre-existing notions of like who you are as a person.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that Sid said. It is hard to be accepted in certain spaces just because, similar to what Sydney said, there are several intersections of our identity in terms of being a woman, being Black, and being an athlete. And there are people, not only at Brown, but there will be a lot of people who will take issue with several parts of that. So like Sydney said, just finding a space to be comfortable with who we are and like the things that we're proud of, such as being Black, being a woman, and being a student athlete, is sometimes hard to come by. But even with all of that, I will say I have found amazing friends like you, Kim, and like you, Bria, that we're being connected now, who have like given us like those spaces to just be ourselves. So I'm very appreciative to have those spaces, but they're not the easiest to find, at least not on this campus.
Wow, thank you for being so like honest about your experiences and how all of those things intersect with each other. You know, obviously being a Black athlete just in general has its own things, but being a Black female has so many other things that come with that. All right, so our next question is going to kind of talk more about Simone Biles and kind of get your feelings on all of what happened and her choice to take a break. So obviously Simone Biles has famously decided to choose herself by opting out of events that have posed a threat to her mental and physical health. So we wanted to know if you resonate with her decision or if you think it's difficult for athletes, non-famous athletes, to do something like this, and if you feel supported on your team to take a break if it was really affecting you.
Yeah, so I definitely resonate with her decision. Part of being an athlete is, quote unquote, being an athlete, which is just kind of getting out of your own mind and just letting your body do the work. But I also think that we need to keep in mind that the body and mind are just like deeply connected, and it's really hard to shut your brain off. I understand completely where she was coming from, and especially when she's performing at such a high level and doing things that are quite honestly extremely dangerous, I think that she made the right call. And even if it wasn't dangerous, I think that putting herself first shouldn't be as scary as it is. Part of it, I think, is because you're on a team and you know that some like your teammates are counting it on you. Part of it, I think, comes from, you know, how hard you trained for this and you don't want to give up a moment. But I think even with all of that, we shouldn't be afraid to prioritize our mental well-being, because that also would correlate to our physical well-being too. And that would have shown, it did show in her performance. So I think it was obvious like where that connection, like how strong that connection is. In terms of being supported on my team now, I definitely feel like if I needed a mental break, I would not receive any backlash for taking one, but it wouldn't be easy for me to come to that decision, because I think a lot of factors, like I mentioned earlier, of saying, I'm on a team. Well, I worked really hard for this. Like, do you want to give all of it up now? Would come into my mind. And working on the mental aspect of being an athlete has been something that I've been trying to focus more on. And I think that a lot of athletes in general are recognizing the importance of mental health in addition to their physical health, because like I mentioned before, while being an athlete is about your physical performance, your mental state of mind will determine how great your physical performance is. And I think that more attention is being paid to mental health across the board.
Yeah, I completely agree with Ari. Just want to start with Simone Biles. I reignited my obsession with her this past summer, but yeah, I completely agree. Like, she's on a huge stage. She's doing things that could literally end her life if she like messed up. So like, I think that it was kind of a no-brainer if she wasn't feeling like 100% there mentally, and she knows herself better than anyone else. I think that's one thing that our coaches always tell us, like, you have to be your biggest advocate. Like, you know yourself better than anyone else. So if you know that you're at a point where you feel like your mental game is not there and it's going to inhibit your performance in a way that's going to be detrimental to you as an athlete, as a person, then that's the space that you can take to decide to take a step back. In terms of like how easy or difficult it was for her to do that decision, I think one, being the athlete that she is, like literally the greatest gymnast of all time, like she kind of, the ball is in her court to decide how she wants to use that platform. But I also understand how difficult that must have been for her also as well, just considering the stages it was on and how much of a dependence gymnastics in general has had on her, and feeling like she has this weight on her shoulders that she feels obligated to carry. And as someone that's not on that stage, but is an athlete as well, and like I was saying, I definitely relate to kind of knowing that if I ever get to that point that I'll be able to take that step back, but knowing that it'd be really difficult for me to get there, and I'd probably have to be forced to get to that point and not at a place where I can like really assess before something really like brings me to a realization that I'll have to reassess like what I'm doing. But like Ari said, like I also feel like too, if that's ever needed on our team, that would be something that we could do, that we wouldn't have any pushback from that. There have been plenty of people in the past who've taken mental breaks from track and come back stronger. There are other athletes that do it all the time. And I think that with like the increasing discourse about mental health, that's becoming like more and more apparent. It's also part of why a lot of athletes really want to have a sports psychologist, because we really understand like the significance of sharpening that mental game. And it's something that you're kind of not taught. You just have to figure it out on your own. You know, your coaches are there to help you be a better person, be a better athlete physically. But in terms of the mental stuff, it's kind of like you're in your own head and you have to figure out how to overcome obstacles. I personally have been struggling with my mental game for the longest. And I think that anyone outside of athletics, like, should be made aware of like how much your mental game influences your physical performance, like regardless of your physical capabilities. If you're mentally not there, if you're holding yourself back, you're not going to perform the way you're able to. And so being in alignment with like how you are mentally and physically is super important as an athlete. And of course, in sports like gymnastics, it's extremely important because like that's your safety at risk.
Thank you so much for sharing your experiences. And I think it's really great to know that on the collegiate level, you do feel supported to put your mental health first and also have this very apparent understanding that there is a really close intersection and interplay of your mental health and how that will impact your physical performance. And I think also too, you know, you also just have pressures of school and other life stuff that goes on. So I think the fact that like this is something that you both feel like you can prioritize, I think is huge. Because I can't even imagine how overwhelming it must be to feel like there's pressure in all of those areas and like there's potentially not a way out of that stress and of that pressure. So I'm really happy that, you know, you both are taking those steps. And I think in terms of that, it would be really great to hear how you both prioritize your well-being on a daily basis. Is this a feasible thing for you to do? What are like some things that you do, like some of your practices that you feel like just help complete you, make you whole as you move forward?
I prioritize my well-being by rest. I take my sleep very seriously.
Mary is in bed by like 11 o'clock every night, and if you mess with that, like, you're done.
I really prioritize my rests as a way that I take care of myself, and I always aim every night to get 8 hours of sleep. I'm not always successful, particularly when midterms, finals season comes around, but I do think that it's a really great way for me to just like relax and even if I'm not going to bed right away, just to sit and have time to breathe and not think about homework or not think about track or anything else, just to really focus on sitting in bed, closing my eyes, and I guess maybe it's a form of meditation. Maybe I won't say that. I don't know. I've tried to meditate. I don't think I'm very good at it. Something that I'm definitely working on because I would like to be better at it. But that's the way that I personally like to take care of myself.
Yeah, doing what makes me happy at the moment, like, I think is really good for my well-being. So sometimes that's working on something that I'm passionate about. Sometimes it's watching Netflix and neglecting my responsibility. Sometimes it's participating in something that I really care about that I feel like is going to like make a difference around me. So it kind of just depends on the day, because I think that even at the end of the day, a lot of the things that I do that make my time at Brown outside of academics like worthwhile and give meaning to it can also become burdensome at times. And so when I get to that point where everything kind of feels like a responsibility, I think, like I said, rest and just relaxation, like doing something that doesn't involve any mental energy, like watching Netflix, just relaxing, like getting a good meal from somewhere, like that's what I really like to do. But it really just depends, because some days I'm like, okay, like I want to do this today, like I'm not doing this, like I feel like I'm gonna be all over the place. And other days, like I literally don't want to do anything, like I don't want to be a person right now. So it kind of just depends, but for me, it's kind of a mixture of both. But recently, it's really just been like rest and having good food.
I second the good food.
Yeah. I feel like it's all about being intuitive. Like, even though I'm not an athlete, I think that it's just about listening to your body. Some days you do need to come home, not talk to anyone, and take a 5-hour nap. You know what I mean? But some days it's like your rest and relaxation will be being with friends or going to a party or doing whatever you need to do. And I think it's just kind of finding that balance and like being intuitive about what you need. So I definitely understand that. I guess we're going to wrap it up. This has been so good. I'm so happy to meet you and hear about your stories. I know I'm so happy Kim knows you all because you're so sweet and cool. And I guess we're going to wrap it up with our last question. And this could be like a speed round, maybe name your like top 2 or top 3 Black female athletes that inspire you on a daily basis.
Allyson Felix comes to mind first, especially with everything that she's doing right now with her new brand and her speaking out about her pregnancy troubles. I really appreciate that. The next, we did speak a lot about Simone Biles today. Gabby Thomas would need to be mentioned. Naomi Osaka would need to be mentioned. Anna Cockrell needs to be mentioned. I'm gonna stick with them.
Sorry, that's literally the same people I was gonna list. Yeah, definitely Simone as well. Like when I say I'm obsessed, like watching her, like makes me feel so inspired, like everything about her, she's amazing. Like, I think we're in a time now where like in so many sports, like Black women are like dominating, making history and like setting the stage for how other people in their sport are treated and view the sport. And I think it's really amazing to see that. Also a little shameless plug. I do know Anna Cockrell personally.
Sorry. Oh, please, so quick story time.
Yeah. She's also from Charlotte, so she went to my rival high school. So like I ran against her.
That's how Gracie knows her?
Yes. Gracie went to the same high school as her. That yeah. So another girl on our track team went to the same high school that Anna Papa went to. But I met her from there. There's also a summer track team that we both trained on that my brother trains on now that she was a part of. I can see I know her. Got to Charlotte the Olympics. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you both so, so much for like opening up and sharing your stories. I'm personally inspired by the both of you, which is why I knew that we had to have you on to speak about your experiences. I know it's definitely not easy to be Black, a woman, and an athlete at Brown. And I think it's just really important for people to hear how you are still prioritizing yourself. You're still thriving every single day. And I know, although it's definitely been, you know, tough and there's been so many highs and lows, you both have made the most of it. And also just know that there's so many people on campus who look up to you, one being myself, for everything that you're doing. And I think you're really forging an important path for women moving forward. So just so happy to have you on. And again, thank you so much for opening up and sharing your experiences.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Do you have any plugs for anything that you'd like people to follow or look at? You don't have to, but of course, drop them if you would like.
No, I'm boring.
I'm boring. Aries Public Health Queen. No, I'm serious.
She's already in a master's program, so let's hype her up for that.
Man.
Yeah. Gonna be here alone. Without my friends. Sorry.
No, I'm trying. Just so you know. But I think it's a question about like being in the Ivy League, like what it's like. So one additional thing to that is that since the Ivy League is its own athletic division, which is actually the only thing that like distinguishes the Ivy League from other athletic divisions or just like college, university leagues in general, is that if you're a grad student and you have remaining eligibility, you can't compete for your school because they think that it like messes with your amateur status. So as grad students, we aren't able to stay at an Ivy League school. They did pass a waiver last year, but only for the seniors that graduated last year. So me and Ari's year, the other years I lost a year due to COVID, which is like a very unique circumstance, wasn't extended to us. So hoping that they give us a waiver so that we can compete if we have the option. But if not, we are gonna have to go to another grad school or not continue to run if we stay. But interesting tidbits.
Wow, that's really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
That sucks, because it's not like you lost it because of something you both did. You lost it because of an external force, so yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray that you got a waiver, because that's crazy.
Yeah.
Thanks. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. All right, should we do our outro?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much, Sydney and Ari, for coming on and bearing your souls about being Black female athletes at Brown. Your stories were so incredible. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being patient with us as we have a little sporadic upload schedule just because life is lifing lately. So thank you for that.
She is.
She has hands. Life has had some hands the past few weeks. So yeah, thank you. We will see you next time. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.